The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. But what do the stars actually say? Interesting. Also, what happens when people follow idols? That's the question. And Andrew Farley, pastor of Church Without Religion, joins us to discuss his new book.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, couple things to tell you. Hopefully, everything will go well, and at 2:30, we'll have Andrew Farley on the show. We're hoping that that goes well. Got some teachings we want to get into. Got a little history we want to cover. Plus, we have some trivia questions, some easy ones, middle ones, and hard ones. Like easy, middle, hard. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way to do this. But first, let's talk about some of the people that we're working with. Again, I had a chance on the phone to talk with our good friend... John.
Big John.
So John is the owner of the Blessed Roofing Company. And you can go to theblessedroofingcompany.com and get direct information on the website. I got to go with him at some point and go through his website with him. He wants to make some changes. Also, you can reach him by simply calling 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. Bless his heart. We went out to lunch yesterday. He didn't know that I was going to pick up the ticket, right? The check, which for me is a huge move, being, you know, Jewish and then Christian, okay? Just so you understand, Jesus saves, Moses invests. I mean, this is kind of how this works. So anyway, I did pick up the check, and then he felt bad because he got a few extras, and we talked about it, and I'm like, you know, that guacamole did really put a big spin on my finances right there. That $1.55 guacamole took me out. So I told him I forgave him. No, we were just having good fellowship, and he was reiterating a couple of things that were really cool. One of which is how passionate he is about making sure that he does his roofing with integrity. He came up with a new line. Actually, I didn't know this line. This was a pretty interesting line. He said, you can get out of prison at 9 a.m. and open up a roofing company at 10 a.m., but it takes 12 months to open up a snow cone company. Like, wow, because he owns a snow cone company. See, that's how he knows. Anyhow, his point is it does require integrity. And so if you're going to be somebody that's trying to not gain the system, but just do what's right and do what's fair, get in touch with John at the Blessed Roofing Company, blessedroofingcompany.com, 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. That's pretty simple, pretty forward. And if you're in need of help, he's there to do it. Free inspections. Most of the times, it's no out-of-pocket for repair or replacement. All right. Also at the lunch, at our very same lunch, was my wife and Pamela Milkin.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's some
home. That's Mel Gibson. No. So here is the bottom line there. So my wife and Pamela didn't get a lot of opportunity to talk because John is one of the few people that can talk more than I am. I do, and then I talk a lot. So between the two of us, we had like 14 conversations while the two of them were sitting there going, this is good, isn't it? Yes, this is good. Anyhow, what I do want you to know is if you are looking to get into the forest of real estate and you want to make sure that somebody can guide you through the path, you need to have somebody who understands it from a distance and doesn't get caught up in all of the minutiae. Pamela doesn't do real estate because she's just trying to do something. She does it because this is where she believes she's been led and called by the Lord to do it in an honorable fashion and to serve her brothers and sisters in the Lord by making sure that every transaction is as unto the Lord in a ministry format. You think, well, how she does that? She makes sure that it's not just full of integrity, but she makes sure she's with the person and treats them the way she would want to be treated. That sounds like the golden rule to me. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. You have TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. Now you got TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. So somewhere between the real estate and the roof, you got it covered, right? TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. Her number, 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. Touch base with Pamela. She will talk to you for free, no charge. Just kind of go over things and see where it's at. You don't have a requirement if you call her to utilize her services. You can just talk to her. She can be the person that you talk to, your go-to person. She's there for that. There you go. Okay, how are we doing, Wonder Julie? Wonder Julie, are you doing good today? Because I know, you know, you got a lot of extra work to do, don't you?
So I do, but I'm good.
You're good. As long as you're good, that's important. And then if I press the wrong button again today, so it turns out yesterday it was most likely me pressing the wrong button on the people that called in, wasn't it?
Maybe. We'll find out.
I told you, I never took a class in pushing buttons. I don't know why people find that hard to believe.
It's the top button.
It's the... It's four lights! Anyway, that's a reference from a Star Trek show. Instead of doing our classical cute history, I'm just going to name off a couple of interesting pieces of history. Please don't get offended when we talk about history, because if you do, the Bible says that love is not easily offended, so knock it off. Okay, in 1701, on this day, Captain William Kidd, the Scottish pirate, he was hanged on this day. He was caught and hanged. But much more impressive, in 1785, Ben Franklin announced his invention of bifocals. I thought that was fascinating, that on this day in 1785, bifocals came into play. I don't know why I find that amazing. It's just one of those weird things. It's like, well, let me get this straight. So for hundreds and thousands of years, nobody said, well, maybe we could put two lenses together. Okay. You got to give the guy credit. He was flying a kite in the middle of a storm. That's pretty good. 1788, on this day, South Carolina became the 8th state to ratify the United States Constitution. Let's see. On this day, Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow met their end at the hand of Texas Rangers. Wow. And I thought this was interesting. In 1900, Civil War hero Sergeant William Kearny became the first African-American to receive the Medal of Honor 37 years after the Battle of Fort Wagner. Wow. I like stuff like that. I just think it's fascinating. You might not think it's as cute, but the reality is in the cute calendar, there wasn't anything funny. So I'm not doing it then. Okie dokie, let's get into our first trivia question. Let's see if you're ready for trivia. Just get you ready. Get your fingers ready. Are your fingers ready? I mean, I'm just checking to see if your fingers are ready for the trivia question. Here we go. First one. This is without looking, folks, which means you cannot go, okay, I'm going to look now. That you can't do that, okay? How many chapters are in the Book of Romans? Can't look. No looking. No looking. This is, you got to do it by memory. I tested this out today. It did work. How many? In the Book of Romans. There you go. All right. Oh, our number. Oh, probably a good idea to tell people the phone number. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. How many chapters are in the book of Romans? Let's go into our first teach, so to speak. And you're going to find this to be, I think, amazing. I love stuff like this. We're going to be talking about the heavens and what they're... we already got people calling? Man, people, you are fast. Everybody is just speeding it up, aren't they? Okay, now we're going to find out if it's me or not. Ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Okay, so this is my memory, right?
There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans.
There are 16 chapters in the book of Romans. You are correct, sir. Do you know, I'm just going to ask you, just without looking, do you know how many chapters are in 2 Corinthians?
In the 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
There are 14.
There are 14. Is it 14 or is it 13? Do you think it's 14? Do you think it's 13? You pretty positive about that?
Have him turn his radio down.
Okay, I'm looking it up just to verify, because I think...
Okay, I think
it's
looking.
Yeah, it's 13 in 2 Corinthians. You're driving? Be safe. Don't do anything that's not safe. In 2 Corinthians, there's actually 13 chapters, but that still was an excellent guess.
Okay.
All right, there you go. But good job on the 60. So you didn't look, you just knew. Have you read Romans recently?
No, it's been a while.
Okay. That's a hint from the Lord. That's a hint.
Yeah, maybe I should reread it.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, great call. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Good job.
All right, shalom. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. That was great. Oh, that was good. Great call. All right, so where are we at? What do we got? Like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute? What do we have? We have 2 minutes. Okay, I'll do this other one real fast. Okay, remember how everybody kind of gets all uptight about science and Bible and science and Bible? Isaiah 40:22 says, "He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in." Columbus in 1450 AD said, "The earth may not be flat." Isaiah in 700 BC said the earth is a circle. So just so you can know, that's 2,150 years before science, the Bible already said it. See, everybody thinks, the Bible, flat earthers. 2,000 plus years before, God said, it's a circle. Just to let you know. Isaiah 40:22. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Real estate, it's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541, or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Ah, awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turn. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay, let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yeah, that's good. I'm feeling that. Starting to feel that Texas thing coming right now. Yeah! I'm liking that. By the way, when we got here, we got our license plates, and then we we turned in our one lease and got another lease, but we went from one car to a truck. That said, you are getting close to Texas. Now, somebody said I got to get a pair of boots, right? Okay. Hey, they're not cheap, right? I mean, it's not like booties at a hospital kind of thing.
You can wear them for the rest of your life.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. What am I supposed to get? Is there a particular animal you get on the boots, or is that up to the person? Does that matter?
That's up to you.
Okay. I'm just checking. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook David Spoon Media, YouTube David Spoon Media. Like I said, hopefully all goes well. We'll have Andrew Farley on at the bottom of the hour. Here's our big trivia question. Now, this is it's not a two-parter, but it kind of is, because the first part's a little easy. So you got to have both answers. Uh-oh. Both answers, but it's a short answer. What is the longest and the shortest psalm? What is the longest and the shortest psalm? Aha, got to have both. 972-445-0770. If we don't get it, then we will tell you what it is. Most people will get the longest. You got to have the shortest, too. No looking at Google. 972-445-0770. If you know the answer to that question, I want to get into this next teach, which I think is kind of fun. It's a DDD. Remember, I have not been telling people what these teachings are coming from. DDD is Devotional Diamond of the Day. It's when I'm reading scripture and something kind of goes ding, 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 jumps off the page, and then I jot it down, and then after I'm done with my devotions, I sit there and I write about it and kind of piece something together. So they're all scattered throughout the last 20 years, which is why I have 10,000 of them. Just so you can know, I have 10,000 jokes and 10,000 DDDs. So I'm running out of material between now and my personal departure or the Lord's return. I'm just telling you. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 5. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their fathers and the warning he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. Wow. Let's do that one just one more time. I want to make sure we're on par there. They rejected his decrees and his covenant he had made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and they themselves became worthless. It's not a coincidence that what we follow, we often become. What you follow after is what you fall into, what you become, what you surround yourself with. So, for example, if you are just overly TV-ized, while you may be thinking your TV-ization is cause-related, you're really being more influenced by the idol or television becoming an idol. It's not that television is bad. It's bad if it consumes your entire life. That's when it's bad. So when we follow after worthless things, we become like those things, and I don't think anybody in the world wants to go around being known as the idiot box. I don't think so, but, you know, I could be wrong. Here's something that's most amazing in this same text, in this same portion, 2 Kings 17:29. Nevertheless, each group made its own gods in several towns where they settled and set them up in the shrines with the people of Samaria, and they had made in the high places. And so what people had done is they had settled into the towns. They were following worthless idols. The Lord said, you got to follow my stuff. And they're like, okay, I'm going to follow the Lord's stuff. That's what we're supposed to do. But 2 Kings 17:33 says they worshiped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the custom of the nations from which they had been brought. Now, listen to this. You can't actually serve two masters, but that doesn't mean people don't try. And so people will try and serve the Lord and the world, and it gets to be frustrating, and you can't really pull that off. You can't serve the Lord God and worthless idols. All right, we're going to take our caller, and then we're going to... Oh, there it is. There's the phone. Apparently, I was pushing it wrong, by the way. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm very well.
All right. Let's see. Now, this is a two-part question that you're answering, right? So I just want to make sure you feel comfortable with that. So the longest psalm is?
119.
That is correct. Now, before we get to the next question, let me ask you this. Whenever you're reading the psalms, do you ever get close to 119 and then go, I'll stop here because I know how long this one is?
Yes, I have done that.
Okay, because I've done that like 30 times. I go, this is going to take like 15 minutes right here. And that's not what I'm doing. Okay, I just want to check. I want to make sure I'm not the only person that does that. All right, now the shortest psalm is?
I believe it's 117.
That is correct, sir. You are correct. And there, depending on your Bible version, this is really fascinating, depending on your Bible version, Psalm 118, and I can't remember if it's verse 4 or 5, it is thought to be the middle of the Bible. It's like, really? That's fascinating. You like when you take all the words and you add them together and you split it right in half. I always thought that was, I don't know if that's true, but it sounds cool. Anyway, excellent
job.
That one
I have not heard.
What's that?
I said, that one I have not heard.
Yeah, no, it's not every version because, you know, each version, there's a little bit of difference there. But and I think it was the King James. I got to double check that. I have all these stats, all these weird trivia questions, and that was kind of one of them. But an excellent job in knowing that. And out of the Psalms, just out of curiosity, because you got 150 of them, what's your fave?
23rd Psalm.
Which one?
23rd.
Okay, 23rd Psalm about the Lord is my shepherd. That's a classic. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we could just learn that one line, we'd be doing so good. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a great line. So thank you, sir. Excellent answer, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. I love your show.
Take care. All right, excellent job, I can. See that? Good. He's just on it. He's on it. Okay. I might, when you guys call in, you don't have to answer any of the questions I have, but I think that stuff's fascinating, and I got to find that, which version that is. Could be King James. I can't remember on that middle thing, but he got it. 119, 117. Excellent job. All right. Let's go back to this. I want to talk about this thing about following worthless idols and then people trying to follow two gods, so to speak. Let's make sure we understand what we're talking about. An idol in and of itself is worthless, right? I mean, most of Jeremiah, a lot of Ezekiel, portions of Isaiah really go into the ridiculousness. You take, and then certainly in the Minor Prophets, you take a piece of wood and you cut it down from a tree and you fashion it, and then you put gold on it, then you put some eyeballs on it and maybe some Mr. Potato Head ears or something and a little baseball hat, and you put it up there and you go, this is God. It's the same time that same idol can be cooking you marshmallows and chocolate and graham crackers so you can have some s'mores. So it's kind of goofy. And most idols are just absolutely worthless. Some are just more demonic than others. But when we're going after any kind of idol or anything, it's like, that's bad, right? But these people, what they were trying to do is they were trying to serve more than one God to make everybody happy. And this was their goal. And what Jesus said was pretty classic. You're not going to be able to serve two masters, Jesus said. But that doesn't mean we won't try to serve two masters. And what's important about that is to understand God's perspective or God's declaration in this situation. It's that God refuses to be shared. He is at the top alone and nobody else, because what is one of the things he tells us? He is a jealous God. He doesn't share the God position. So he rejects the notion of us trying to get multiple sharing the top spot. Because it's when we do that, we're not serving the Lord 100%. And with the Lord, it's either you're all in or you're not. Now, it's funny because in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other. Devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Money is mammon, and it can apply to anything else, too, that there would still be an accurate statement to say you cannot love your family. You cannot love riches, prestige, public power, recognition, acknowledgement. You can't have anything in competition with the Lord in your life. In the sense of your love and devotion has to be to him first. And I think Christians, without saying they're following idols, try to put money, bills, or whatever the case may be. You might say it's better if they're trying to put family, whatever. But look, it goes faith, family, and friends. Not any other direction. It's God first, and then everything else second. You just got to make that distinction. That's one of the things Jesus is talking about. You got to have that distinction in our minds and in our hearts. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Hopefully we come back. We'll have Andrew Farley, we're hoping. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Be right back. Destroying everyone
and everything we find. It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
we need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook David Spoon Media, YouTube David Spoon Media. Jump on your roof and go, hey, David Spoon Media. Nothing will happen, but it would be funny. Your neighbors could call. I don't know what's going to happen there. Okay, on the line with us. Now, I got to set this up before I bring him on the line because he doesn't know this part. So my brother led me to Christ over 40 years ago, both of us Jewish believers. And he led me to Christ. And we were exiled from our family and have been for over 40 years. And my brother's favorite teacher is our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the show, and hopefully everything's working technologically from the technological point of view, Andrew Farley, who has written a book called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, good. That's a good start. So I just want to say that because of my brother who led me to Christ, I am an also-ran, you know, kind of person, because he loves your teaching.
Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I missed that, but go ahead. I can hear you clearly now.
Okay. Sorry. I was just saying, because of my brother, I'm an also-ran, because he loves your teaching a lot more than he likes my teaching.
Oh, I see. Well, it's a pleasure to be on with you, my friend.
I appreciate you taking the time. Let's just talk about the book. It's Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. Real simple, real forward. I'll just ask you the questions. I mean, they give you a list of questions, but they're kind of goofy. So I just want it to be you and I and having a good exchange into what this is all about. First and foremost, why did you write Twisted Scripture? What was it that moved you? What was it the Holy Spirit was leading you into that brought you to that point?
Well, there are so many scripture passages that are difficult to interpret, and so many Christians end up living in fear because of that. Everything from, you know, is God going to say, depart from me? Is he going to say, that you're spewed out of his mouth or deleted from the book of life? Or, you know, Christians can sometimes be filled with so much fear because of misunderstanding scripture and taking it out of context. So in this book, I really wanted to dispel those fears and show the truth that sets us free.
Okay, excellent answer. All right, let me ask you this. When you wrote the book and you came up with the title, did you? I'm asking because I want to know, so somebody who wrote a terrible book, I wrote a terrible book, so it doesn't count. But when you wrote it, did you think this title could be challenging for some people to hear?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, I'm not making any assessments or judgments about the thousands, hundreds of thousands of congregations or teachers or pastors. I'm just saying that in general, we need to make sure that we're getting back to the core of the gospel message and teaching it as it needs to be taught, putting the cross and the resurrection centered. So it's not Jesus plus water baptism. It's not Jesus plus a mandated 10% to get right with God. It's not Jesus plus. It's really all about Jesus. And so that's the core of this book, Twisted Scripture.
Excellent. All right. So I do want people to understand. This book is available. You had a release, I think it was on the 14th. So if I say something wrong, Andrew, just tell me. But I think it's available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble's and all the other online outlets, plus at bookstores or whatever the case may be. Is that correct?
Yes, it's been out about a week so far on Amazon. It's hit number one in a bunch of Christian living type categories. We're excited. Our team is over the top about this. It's been 2 years in the making, and the book Twisted Scripture is finally out and available. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold.
All right. But that's got to be a relief, though, right? You're doing a project. It lasts like 2 years. You know, it's like getting a master's degree or something. It's like, shoo, okay, I'm done with that. I mean, was that just the huge relief when you've got it all together and it's like, done, Lord? You know what I mean? Like, was that a great moment or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is my seventh book, so I'm used to writing books, but this one is by far the most comprehensive. It deals with the most questions that people might have, all the but what about this verse, but what about that verse? And so to have it completed is an absolute thrill, and to see it reaching people is even better.
Yeah, now that's that question that moves beyond the, you know, what inspired you into this part. And I know it's close to the answer, but I guess I'm looking for maybe just that next step in. When somebody reads this, they pick up the book, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. They read the whole thing, probably not in a sitting, but they read the whole thing. They put the book down. What is your desire? What is your passion that they'll pull from that?
Yeah, I mean, my hope and prayer is that they will see first and foremost that God is good, to them, and that when they read the Bible, there really is no fly in the ointment, there's no worm in the apple, there's nothing to ruin the gospel message, that God is for them, not against them, that we really are friends of God, that nothing will separate us, He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. So seeing the goodness of God and the grace of God, that is my prayer for this book.
Excellent. All right, let me ask you, in writing the book and in putting it out, inevitably, no matter who writes a book about whatever, and I mean that in the most kindest sense, there are going to be supporters and there are going to be detractors kind of mentality. Have you found that to be true again? Have you found more support this time around? Have you found more detractions this time around? Is there anything that you've encountered that's different from any of the other books you wrote?
Yeah, I would say across the board that people that like my books or pick up my books, I mean, there's going to be about 80% to 90% of people that like what they're reading. They know what they're getting ahead of time. They know that I'm going to share the truth about our forgiveness, the truth about living under grace, the truth about our new identity in Christ. But then other people pick it up. They don't know what they're going to get. They start reading and they get mad. They get mad at the idea that we're always secure in the arms of Christ, that He's never going to let us go. They get mad at the idea that we're forgiven of all of our sins because they want to sort of keep short accounts with God and try to keep themselves forgiven through something that they do. So, you know, we're teaching the grace of God in its purity, putting everything on Jesus and His sacrifice and His resurrection. And I think that when you talk in clear terms like that, people are going to love it or they're going to hate it.
Yeah, now that's good. That's an excellent point. So here's a quirky question, and this is going to be, I promise nobody's asked you this because I just thought of it, and I haven't seen it anywhere in there, but if a person operates where they're like, and I want to use this as an example, like if they go too far one direction, they go falling all the way out. Like in other words, if a person who has an alcoholic background takes one drink, they're opening the door to, you know, dive all the way down and spend the next 10 years drinking. Is it possible that some people are resistant because they're almost like self-protecting them, you know, protecting themselves. Well, I don't want to think of this as grace, because if I think of this as overly forgiven, I might end up doing terrible things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would say you've identified the number one fear, the number one reservation. And to me, when I hear people saying that, I would say, hey, we need to broaden our definition of grace, because grace is not just God forgiving you, but grace is also God giving you a new heart with a new set of desires. So you don't have to be afraid of what you want anymore. You know, a lot of Christians are afraid of what they want. If you give me a get-out-of-jail-free card, then I'm just going to do whatever I want. If there's too much forgiveness, too much grace, I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want. Well, that tells me they're scared of what they want. And so I think the solution to that is to realize that God's grace has given us a new identity, a new heart, and even a new set of desires, so we don't have to be afraid of what we want.
Okay. Now, here is a not a theological question. I know you can answer that, but I'm gonna try and keep it more in that general sense. You got people that are gonna be more Arminian in their thinking process, and then you got people that are gonna be more Calvinistic in their thinking process. Regardless of where they're coming down, are these to be issues for fellowship? In other words, if somebody thinks, no, man, I don't see election, I don't see the grace prevailing, and then another person's like, if it's not by grace, I'm out, you know, kind of mentality. Are those reasons for people to disassociate, or is that just the devil taking advantage of different thought and different processing?
Well, I don't know about disassociating. I don't know that I would ever recommend Christians not talking to each other or rejecting each other over doctrines like what you're describing. I would say, hey, if we agree that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead to give us new life, if we have him living inside of us, then we're designed to function together. I maybe that's too idealistic, because you do have heated arguments about Calvinism and Arminianism. And, you know, there's even a chapter in my book where I address that. But yeah, I would say it's not about parting company. It's about coming together, digging into the scriptures, and letting God's Spirit teach us. Unfortunately, though, you know, the flesh and ego and how smart somebody is and trying to win an argument, I mean, those things get in the way, and we end up shooting our own wounded a lot as Christians. So that's why we need more and more grace and fixing our eyes on the grace of God.
Yeah. Now, see, for me, I never win an argument with my wife, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm old enough, I'm in the Lord enough to know when this is not the war to fight.
I hear you.
Okay, excellent job. And I know we could have gone down some theological roads, and maybe we'll visit that maybe down the road, but I wanted to give you that opportunity to reach out to the audience and speak to them and tell them and share your heart. And I really appreciate you doing that and you taking the time. And I want people to respond. I want you to pick up the book. I've read through the whole thing, and it's amazing, because I had to do it in less than a week. Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. And I want you to review it and dig into it. One of the things you'll find out that Andrew does an excellent job of is just standing firm in grace. And if you just remember Keith Green's old song, you know, about grace by which I stand, you will get it a lot more than you think. You can get it at Amazon, Books a Million, whatever the case may be. Again, I want to give you one last line to share with the audience. One last thought for them to just contemplate before they head into Memorial Weekend. What do you got for me?
Well, just to remember that flirting with Moses is cheating on Jesus, and we need to be careful to keep the grace of God pure. We don't run to Old Testament laws. We don't run to tablets of stone. If we've got Christ living in us, he is enough.
Excellent job, sir, and I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us here on the David Spoon Experience.
Hey, thank you, David. Great to be with you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Andrew Farley. Great job on doing a presentation, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. We're going to take our break right here, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on KAAM 770, Christian Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
that hail?
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof.
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Thank you to Andrew Farley for joining us. We appreciate that. Get him a copy of that pretty soon. And I do want everybody to know, here's one of the things that I think is really important in the show, before we get into identifying markers, whatever the case may be. Next week, we're going to have on a representative from Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is the very group that went against Texas for having crosses in the public arena. I'm not going to try and beat the person up. You know, I could beat them up from a Christian point of view in a second, right? But that is going to do nothing but create more animosity. I want to understand why they think that having that freedom from religion is important. I want to get it. So I'm going to ask that person questions in kind of a inquisitive, help me understand, here's where I'm coming from, what is it you're trying to accomplish point of view. Not going to promote them. I want to understand them. And that we're doing that on purpose because I could just sit there and do exactly what everybody's doing on cable TV. In fact, I wouldn't even have to write a show. I can pretty much watch about 2.5 hours of cable television, write down 10 lines, and do a whole show just repeating what they want. But that's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to pursue into the kingdom. We're supposed to seek the Lord. We're supposed to grow in him. We're supposed to grow in our understanding of him and our relationship with him. And I have confidence in an audience that is more than adequate to be able to stand within the framework of their truth to be able to talk to somebody that they wouldn't agree with. And the reason I bring that up is because we're going to have guests on the show that you would be like, what? I'm not going to give them a format to try and twist or to try and do anything. I want to know where they're coming from. And as a Christian, if I have a response, I want to be able to give that response to them without throwing something at them. I don't know. Call me crazy. But I have enough confidence that the truth, get this now, the truth is truth enough. The truth is truth enough. I understand that they're going to have a different perspective, but I want to know why. What is it that's so irritating to them? And then I'm going to use my own life as kind of a ramp. Now, we'll have guests on that you will hopefully will fire you up, that will challenge you. Theologically, we'll have people that are all-millennial and premillennial and postmillennial. I happen to be a manifold millennialist. That's right. Go ahead and look it up. You're not going to find anything on it. It has to do with certain professors and certain groups of theologians that see benefits in all the teachings, although, you know, I have leanings towards, you know, more of a premillennial and all-millennial mentality, but I see them all. But I'm not having a problem with that. I'm not having a problem fellowshipping with other believers who have a different theological point of view. I have a problem with people who deny that it's centered on Jesus and who deny that God can write a book. That's my problem. That's it. It's not overly complex. I'm just very confident that because God can create the universe, he can write a book. Call me silly. You silly guy, you. Anyhow. All right. So, I think people that have different theological leanings are fascinating. I mean, I could put on here somebody in the eschatological point of view, and they'd be on opposite ends, and they'd still love each other and fellowship. And see, that's what you want. That's where we've got to be as a body. So even if somebody doesn't go to your church, that does not make them any less your brother or sister, just so you can know. Psalm 51. Forget if you can't figure out how to get to the show by now, I can't help you. That's
boy, that was mean, wasn't it?
Tomorrow is our 50th show, by the way, our Pentecost show. Yay! They said we wouldn't make it to 49. Ha! We're right there. Psalm 51. I only have so many minutes I want to get to it. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. I love this. I love how David writes. It's just like you just go, yeah, yeah, that what he said. You read it and you go, what he said. Because it's like, wow. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Let's just, I mean, we could do a week on that. Yeah, I guess I know you know that. Here's the deal. The deal is that I have loved people, but I have failed them. I'm not talking about a moral failure. I have failed them in not loving them continually. Or loving them, or even in my lack of words, or too many words, or just my general overall support for them, I have failed. And I'm willing to bet that a lot of you have failed in loving people, even the people closest to you, which is ironic since they're the ones that deserve the most compassion. They seem to be the ones that get the least compassion because we expect the most from them. But in my love for people, for my children, even my grandchildren, even though they're all young, and my wife, in my existence, in brothers and sisters in the Lord, in unbelievers, in enemies, and everything, I've failed from time to time, depending on what's going on. God never fails in his love. It's like, wow, that is so far beyond me. Because God has an unfailing love, and he's not kind of like we are. We're like, you know, like the wind, or we're like leaves, or we're like this, or we're like whatever. It's like God's love is like, oh, it's a rock. It's steadfast. It doesn't move. It's always there. And you just think about how cool that is, that he loves you with an unfailing love. And so he'll have mercy on you. He'll have grace on you. He'll move you. He'll direct you. He'll do all of those things. But it's because he has an unfailing love for you. It will never die. In his heart, it never becomes less. I love pizza. Okay. Now you're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? I love pizza, and I can eat pizza 5 nights in a row. But on the 6th night, I don't want any more pizza. So that's my point. My point is there comes a limit, a point, but not with God. Now, tomorrow I'm going to revisit this because this passage is so full of graciousness and so full of life and so full of love. But here's what I want you to think. Here's what the thought I want you to have. And yes, I know comparing God's love to love for pizza is stupid, but I'm trying to give you an illustration. Your love can be much more conditional because you are a person who is moved to the left and the right, depending on how the wind is blowing, how the circumstances are going, how you're feeling, what you're going through, all of those things, your age, how you feel at 20 versus how you feel at 40 versus how you feel at 60, all of that has an impact on you and I. It just has no impact on God. His love for you today is no less and no more than the very first day you heard about his love for you. Now, isn't that cool? I mean, that's like, whoa. It's like an unfailing love. It's like it never moves. Right. It's there. It's always there. Now, that's just a good thing. That doesn't mean he doesn't discipline or any of those other. I'm not saying any of that. I am simply saying that his love is unfailing. He will never let you down regarding his love for you. That's just awesome. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.